Hey everybody, before we start the show, wanted to let you know that we have exclusive brand new How Did This Get Made merchandise available at teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. Here's the deal. Artists created amazing designs based on How Did This Get Made, things like I'm the Jason of My Group or Finding Ernest Really Sexy. And you can take that design, you can put on a t-shirt, a hoodie, a mug, a computer case, a cell phone case, whatever you want to do. It's available right now and it's completely and totally on sale. Go to teepublic.com/stores/HDTGM or just go to our Twitter or Facebook and the link is right there. But check us out at teepublic.com/stores/HDTGM. Hey there, people. It's Paul Scheer wanting to know, do you like sex? Well, that is good because I have an offer for all you sex lovers out there. If you want to stick it in or get it stuck in, you got to do it with a skin condom, okay? Skin condoms provide all the protection of a latex condom, but instead they're made with a polyisoprene material called SkinFeel, which is softer than traditional latex. Ladies, fellas, how does that sound to you? Sounds good to me, all right? So when you're gonna stick it in or get it stuck in, why don't you hand a skin condom to your partner? They feel so natural that 97% of people who tried skin condoms recommended them. How do I know this? Because I asked them. I stayed at their bedside. I watched them put it on. I watched them have consensual sex while sober. And I asked them afterwards, and they said, we would recommend this. So this is my research done right here. Plus, they're completely safe for anyone with a latex allergy, and shipping is really discreet. So head to buycondoms.online to explore skin condoms, personal lubricants, and more, and get free shipping on your first order by using the code BONKERS. That's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, BONKERS. In the immortal words of the great poet laureate Luke Hobbs, fate is a real sum of bitch. We saw the fate of the furious, so you know what that means. Now it's time for
How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, so remember. Why's J-Lo banging the bar next door? Why's Jupiter rescinding on a stellar skateboard? From anacondas to cobras to Hudson Hawk to talking flying sharks with Scotty Hawk. Lawnmower man's in maximum overdrive. Hercules and Prestia staying alive. Why's the Death Spot got acid hidden in the walls? Why's John Travolta love face waterfall? Jason's still single, June's hating buns. Paul's digging deeper with second opinions. How do you steal a god of Egypt's heart? More importantly, where does the butt start? Jason's into it, he's fast and he's furious. Paul's got questions, June is getting curious. Lake Placid and Longhands got Tompkins getting madder. But hey, no man, I think it's all Jacob's ladder. It's over the top, it still holds barred. We're about to have a face off with that duck getting hard.
Hello, people of Earth. That is a brand new theme song from Eastwood Frisch, kind of a Kid Rocky theme song there. I am Paul Scheer, joined as always by my two hosts, Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
I loved that. That was a great song.
I loved it, too. And June Diane Raphael, how are you, June?
I'm doing great. How are you, Paul?
Very good. And as always, if it's a Fast and the Furious movie, we have to be joined by our resident Fast and Furious expert, the one, the only, Adam Scott.
If this was like a MSNBC show, would Mike Chiron say resident? Would it be like
Vin Diesel expert?
Yeah, veteran Vin Diesel expert.
Senior Vin Diesel.
And we would all have our own little talking head boxes.
Be talking all simultaneously. Yep.
Screaming Don, at each other.
Don Lemon, as played by Ludacris, tries to control the conversation. Guys, we just came, Jason, June, and I just came from the theater, from this movie.
11 a.m. screening, two other people in the theater, who I worry we ruined their experience just from laughing so hard.
But this movie, you said it best, Jason. I am like jazzed. Like, this is the way my day should always start.
Oh, I want my days to begin watching this movie.
I'm amazed because I was told it was very long and I knew we had some time constraints today. It flew by.
Oh, yeah.
This does not feel like a 2 hour and 17 minutes.
No, it was over in a heartbeat. Yeah.
I have to say, like, I think Fast and the Furious as an entity, like, they do what every other movie tries to do, but better. Like, it feels shorter than some of the bloated Marvel movies. Connective tissue, like, if you just want to talk about James Bond, like, that last James Bond where they tried to connect all the dots, be like, oh, no, this is all, like, they actually pulled that off in this movie in a kind of a way that I was like, I kind of buy it. Yeah. It seems clean.
Well, the same way that they have, like, masterfully upended the idea of, like, the chronology of the series.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just at a point when they were like, oh, we want to rejigger this so that these guys can be living and blah, blah, blah. Oh, so everything previous comes before and, like, we'll just jump ahead in time.
Yeah. They are masterminds. And I said this to Jason on the way here. The thing that blows my mind about it all, one writer. Not a team of writers. Normally a big movie like this, you'd see a couple names as writers. This is one guy.
One genius.
Did he write the last one as well?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I can figure that out.
You know, another thing about this, just a series in general, is, you know, there are eight of them. There are eight of these movies, and each one, it gets crazier and crazier, but they never stop topping themselves. Like,
oh, yes.
The set pieces in this movie
unbelievable
are bigger than the last one. And how could you get more grand than the last – this one blew it out of the water.
Literally,
yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. We flew above in the last movie, and we went below.
That's right.
In eight.
That's right.
I mean, just to answer your question, this guy did write 5 through 8.
Okay.
So he is – and
so we are witnessing his singular vision.
Yes.
This is it. Because different directors, but the commonality is the writer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That he is
interesting.
He is doing it.
He does a terrific job.
I do wonder, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I wonder how they could top this one.
Right.
Just in terms of, like, landscape and terrain.
They're definitely going to the moon.
Yeah, they have
They're definitely going to be driving on the moon.
The writer, they asked him, well, what's next, space? And he said, haha, well, if we have a good story for it.
Wow.
So it's not on the table.
What they're so good at is continuing to heighten and continuing to let us, like, enjoy the insanity of a team of basic superheroes, you know, executing missions all over the world as long as they can arrive and leave via car.
Yes.
Like, that's it.
Absolutely.
They don't get dropped in anywhere. Right. Nothing happens unless they can drive in and drive out, no matter how impractical it is.
I would argue that there is one scene in this movie, which we'll talk about, obviously, is like when Vin Diesel exits his car and runs, that felt so unnatural to me. I was like, I haven't seen, like, a running moment in any of these movies.
Yes.
They're seated most of the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I will say something maybe controversial. I thought the scene with the car starting remotely was amazing. Like, I thought that whole set piece was incredible.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I did not think the final set piece of the submarine beat the airplane sequence. In Seven. And I can't even believe I'm recalling things from other movies. I mean, a shock.
The airplane, the runway sequence.
Yes, that may be from Six.
That's Six.
Okay, Six.
You're talking about, and I wonder if part of your preference for that one is that it has the heartbreaking element that Giselle dies during that plane sequence.
Didn't they fall out of planes in the last movie?
Oh, yeah, when they parachute.
That's what I mean.
Okay,
that's what I mean.
Oh, okay. To the mountain.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I don't think the submarine, like, what I was expecting out of the submarine sequence is that the cars would be driving on top of the submarine.
Uh-huh.
Like, for a while.
Yeah, I'm with you.
For a long time, and then driving underneath the water.
You wanted underwater driving.
I wanted underwater driving. And
you wanted,
then,
like, the motorbike in
by
Triple
the way,
X.
Then they would have to break through the ice from underneath to get out of there.
That is so good.
What are you doing?
I know, and I
what
felt
are you doing
like,
for Fast and Furious 9,
I felt
June?
Like,
Paul, what's the writer's name? Is it an anagram? For June Diane.
You just put Chris Morgan
like
on blast.
It didn't satisfy exactly like I wanted it to.
It didn't go crazy enough.
I feel
enough.
Like we didn't fulfill the premise of a submarine and a bunch of cars in the way that we should have. And at the end of it was just like fire and protecting Vin from fire and all of them getting around him. And I wanted to see him, like, catapult out of that ice.
Yeah.
Yep.
It just felt a little anticlimactic to me.
It didn't betray the laws of gravity quite enough.
Well, that's
enough. It could have happened.
Basic physics
it could
that have we all for subscribe sure. to.
I agree with that in the sense that the danger posed by submarines nuclear subs in Russia, where we were for that whole sequence, is like hypothermic temperatures underwater. Like the true danger is
going
what
under.
If you got trapped underwater?
Absolutely.
And we get a brief moment of that when Tyrese kind of goes underwater but is pulled out very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dom should have been trapped under the ice on top of
he
the sub.
Died immediately.
Trying to do. Yes, he would have, of course. His heart would have exploded.
Guess my question is why disarm those nukes so quickly? Because it was actually that. The submarine, the only threat it really posed was as a submarine.
Well, they didn't say the nukes were disarmed until after they exploded. Right.
But Charlize did say
she said it before.
Well, that when they pulled it out,
she pulled the card out.
She's like, just park it somewhere deep in the water. And like she was basically the
I
idea
basically
of being like, and we'll get
we'll
to it.
We'll go get those nukes later.
Yeah.
I feel like she was like, if I can't launch them now, fine. Let's get the sub out of here and I'll get the nukes later.
But why was she even launching? Because didn't she just say like a scene before, like, I have no interest in launching a nuclear weapon.
No, she said she had no interest in war.
Okay.
She wanted them to have accountability, so if they didn't do what she said, she could shoot nukes at them.
Yeah, it was all about the.
Can you shoot a nuke at a person? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Absolutely, you
at
can.
At a person, yes. A sure. single person.
Absolutely. Well, you're going to evaporate quite a few more, but yes.
Yeah, but you'll take care of that person, no doubt. Oh, boy.
This movie, we haven't even begun.
Yeah. Let's just talk about this opening sequence in Cuba.
Oh, God.
This is like a Vin Diesel propaganda movie in the beginning. Yeah. He is just like the man of the people. Keep the Cuban spirit alive.
It was very similar in tone to the beginning of Triple X.
Exactly.
Yes,
it was almost the exact same setup.
White jeans.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, same white hope.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
He like, you know, gets into, and it's very basic Vin, you know, he's working on cars, he's with his wife, you know, he's got a cousin. Yeah. You never met this cousin, but his cousin from Cuba, they're there.
Yeah. I was like, have we met this guy before? Right. I guess not. Yeah.
But here's the thing too, like, they make reference of his car in Cuba. So did he ship a car to Cuba?
Right.
Or does he keep a car in Cuba?
Does
or
he keep a car everywhere? Like, if you go to any landmass in the world, does Dominic Toretto have a car somewhere?
He has a garage filled with sweet cars. There was one thing in that opening Cuba sequence that I had to write down, which was he kind of faces off with the guy that's giving his cousin shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, bad guy. Yep. But I thought for sure he was coming back later in the movie, by the
way.
He did.
To save
very
Jason
briefly.
Oh,
very
he did?
He was the guy in the moving truck. They give him like a little wink, and then they cut. Not only does it give him a wink, but they cut back to the opening of the movie to be like, remember?
Yeah.
Like he hangs a little key in front of his face.
I totally missed that for whatever reason.
And the two Brazilian guys from Six were the EMTs who pick up Statham and put him in the ambulance where Helen Mirren is.
Okay.
Those are the guys from the Brazil year.
Helen Mirren.
That was five?
Helen Mirren. By the way, that's the other thing about these movies. Like, everyone kind of comes to play in a, like, I feel like Helen Mirren's like, I never get to do something like this.
Yeah.
I'm in. Charlize Theron, she's fucking great.
Oh, yeah. She's so good.
The only thing that I thought about her was that when you first see her hair's in those, like, weird dreads, and I was like, oh, she's, like, undercover. Like, she definitely doesn't have those dreads. It's like, oh, no.
No.
She definitely.
She's all about
sticking
those
with
dreads.
Those.
But she was great. Like, I think that's what's so fun about this world, too, is, like, they take a character like Jason Statham, who's a fuck? You killed one of the main characters from this franchise, a beloved character. And they're like, he's cool. He's great.
He's
he
one of us.
He used to be a cop. And it's just kind of justified. Like, well, he did it for his mom because he's kind of like the British Vin Diesel. It's for his family.
Yep.
And you're on. And by the way, as an audience member, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they what they say is that he's basically like the Dwayne Johnson character, doesn't he say like he got the same type of vision as Dwayne? So we figure out that he's actually a good guy.
Yes, he's a great guy.
Even though he was
the villain.
Yeah. A mass murderer who, again, I just have to say, killed a main character.
He killed Han.
Point blank. Not even like in a, oh,
maybe
he ran
him
off the road.
Yeah.
Because like he's like, bam, bam. And it's like, I'm coming for you, Toretto.
Yeah.
Like, All right.
It's so insane to me. And what I love about these movies is, like, and this is to, directly to your point about, like, how they're, this franchise outdoes so much of the Marvel movies, is these guys are cultivating villains. You know, like Statham in the past, yes, villain. The Owen character, villain. Charlize Theron, villain. Like, it's not like they're fighting Ultron.
Yeah.
Or yes, a bunch of robots falling, yes, from the sky.
The bad guys.
They're not fighting faceless, bloodless. They're fighting villains.
Yeah.
They're great people that they're casting to fill out the villain roles. And then what do? They make them good guys. Yeah. Then they assimilate the villains into their crew. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And no one dies. No one gets shot. Yeah. Everyone goes away.
The only addition to the team I'm not crazy about is the new woman, the tech.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
The guys are fighting over.
Oh, she's, yes, from Game of Thrones. Yeah.
She's the Khaleesi's translator on Game of Thrones.
Wait, is it the same actress as the last one?
Yes.
Okay.
Ramsay. We're talking about Ramsay there. Yeah, she.
I just don't love that character.
I don't feel like she really has much to do, because we've already set up that Ludacris is like the tech guy.
Right.
So she's like kind of more of the.
But
like,
now he's trying to impress her with his tech knowledge.
Yeah, it just makes me miss, you know, Mia and the rest of the gals.
I will say
are you okay,
Jim? No, I miss them.
By the way, I mean, look, Mia, Elsa Pataky, your doppelganger, and Gal Gadot, all great.
I miss
Giselle. She's a great character. Yeah. So much.
But to me, the other thing that I thought was interesting, and obviously this movie is kind of ballsy in a few ways, because Paul Walker has passed, right? So we know that. But what do they do? This script could have just been given to Paul Walker. Like, oh, because I think what I understood from Fast and Furious 7 was that Kurt Russell is supposed to be Paul Walker's dad. He was going to be like, now we're buddies. Now you work for me.
Is that right?
That was the way that before he passed away,
that was the setup.
That was the setup. So Kurt Russell was a bigger part, and they were going to like be father and son. So what they did in the second one was like, same deal. Like, They just
gave him Scott Eastwood?
Yeah, Scott Eastwood is in the mix. And I'm kind of okay with him.
Yeah, like, how did you guys feel about him falling into the Paul Walker slot?
I mean,
I didn't need him. They even gave him a Paul Walker-esque car.
Yes.
Like, they even gave him the prototype for what Paul Walker would drive in all the earlier movies. And that, I didn't like, neither did I think, you know, I get it that, like, he's, like, gonna represent the kind of, military-esque kind of wing of this, so he's a bit of an idiot. But I was like, he had none of the charm or the boyish charisma that Paul Walker had, so he didn't fulfill that role. He more was like what we've seen in other versions of it, which was like the company man that they all kind of, you know,
he was
bust
neither
on.
Here nor there. Like, I don't think he took me out of it, but I wasn't like, oh, I can't wait to see that guy. Mm-mm. Where on the other hand, the guy I want to like give big props to is Roman. Like, Tyrese.
Tyrese is amazing.
The fucking best. Yeah.
Tyrese is unstoppable. Like,
he's amazing.
That's the thing, is that through all these movies, they've learned not to mess with the core dynamic of all these. It's the same in every movie. Even Dom going to the dark side in this movie, it's still the same dynamic. They're all following him and wondering what's up with him, except now he's like a bad guy for half.
And they love him so much that they don't ever seem to be like
there's no betrayal.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just puzzlement.
Yeah.
And then by the time betrayal could maybe rear its head, everything's back to normal again. They're fine.
They act like Vin Diesel betraying them is like he wore they walked in on him listening to classical music. Like, huh?
That's
odd. Not really.
Like
his
if
thing.
They walked in and he was wearing like a Red Sox hat. Yeah. And they're like, wait a minute, dog. You're a Yankees fan, right?
The thing I'll say about the Scott Eastwood part is that I feel like they didn't the game they picked for him, being like the rule follower and stuff, just wasn't that cool beyond the first scene. Like, it kind of they should have found something that played more to his strengths to assimilate him a little more.
Well, I wouldn't have minded if they tried to introduce, and I guess they are because Paul Walker's character was a former lawman, but I was like,
everyone's
I
a former lawman.
I know. I guess that's the truth. I was like, I wouldn't have minded if he was kind of a fuck up that was so that they almost were like, you need another Brian, and so that everybody could be like, you're not Brian.
Yeah,
you
something.
Know what I mean? Like something that had a little more juice
address
to it.
Yeah,
but why not instead of just going parallel, switch directions? Like don't make him like the white guy. Like just make him like. I feel like you could have done something different with that character.
So, yeah.
Like it's too similar to, it feels too much like Paul Walker. Yeah. So then you put too much on it.
I agree.
Where you could have done something very different with it.
Like, I feel like there are, if just off the top of my head, four people in this room that I can think of to put in that role.
By the way,
did any of you guys get called for the audition?
I just want to say.
They went a lot younger and they went with Baby Brian.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do want to say, I'm probably the only one who could be in it because I'm a bald man. And as we all know, this franchise is fueled by bald men.
They're going to have to shave Scott Eastwood's head.
At some point. That is so funny and true and weird.
It's so...
how many bald characters there are in this world.
This is my nirvana, this movie.
Oh, I am begging the makers of this movie to please put us in the Statham Rock spinoff movie.
Oh, my God.
Which is
the
greatest single, like, buddy dynamic. They
so
seeded
excited.
This so perfectly to set up for this next movie that's just the two of them.
Yeah.
Did you
hear
about
this? Movie that's just the two of them?
They're going to make a movie that is just Statham and The Rock, like, the further adventures of Hobbs and what's his
before name? 9 and 10. Now, listen to this.
Really? It's going to be before 9 and 10?
Yes. So now listen to this.
Listen up. Hey, guys, listen to this. So now, check this out. Paul, please drop it.
Here we go. They released this. They sent the movie out to theaters with a post-credit scene with The Rock and Statham. Vin Diesel caught wind of it.
No.
And was like, no. They recalled all the film, cut the scene, and then redelivered the movie. He was like, no. No.
Yeah.
And
you know what? I get it.
Really?
Well,
I get it.
Look, I'm with you, June. I see where he's coming from.
He's the star of this movie.
Absolutely.
And he is a star. He is a star. Okay?
He's been with this thing for like 12 years?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, at least.
16.
Oh, no. Because he dropped out.
16 years.
Yeah, he dropped out.
It started
for like
16
three.
Years ago. It started 16 years ago.
Wow. This is the other, and I know that that's been reported on. The other thing I heard is that they shot, they shot all of the scenes with his son. He insisted that they shoot shrinking him down to his son's size. And so that he would play both himself and his son, and he wore a diaper.
Kind of like Marlon Wayans in that little movie.
Exactly, and they shot that because he really felt like that would be the best way to
emulate
his son. And then they had to scrap it because
they used that face app actually on the.
I want to know. Sort of fast forward. So his son and Elsa Pataky, were they just? Was he the son born in that tiny little room?
Yeah, on the airplane.
Basically,
the airplane?
There's a part of this movie that is the movie Room, but on an airplane.
For sure.
Yes, that's a spin-off.
Okay, so here's my question.
So, like, the movie from her point of view looks a lot like the Brie Larson movie Room.
So did Statham arrive with a car seat? Or was the car seat just in that room?
Right, well, I think we saw him arrive without a car seat.
Yeah,
so
because it seemed like Charlize Theron didn't give a shit about the baby, so why would there be a car seat?
He's not going anywhere.
Right. You'll need a car seat for...
Yeah.
Oh. He's trapped in a room.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, they would have just landed the plane.
You know what, June? You have found the only logic problem within this
movie. I was surprised that they had the baby in a car seat and not a baby Bjorn type situation.
Yeah.
That would have been too Pacifier, which another Vin Diesel movie.
Oh,
where he played a nanny.
Oh, I felt like it allowed for him to have a gunfight without worrying that the baby would get shot.
By the way, can we just talk about that? Sequence. There's so much to talk about. That sequence with
Statham
on the plane with a baby in a baby seat, going around doing a gunfight. That could have been played for comedy, to, yes, but it was played it in was such awesome. A it was fucking amazing. Great yeah. way.
And then the keep cutting to the baby who's just like, yeah. while in the background, he's straight up murdering yeah. everybody. It was fantastic.
Like, yeah. It was it's like clearly some John Wick influence yes. Yes. there oh, yes. in a really good way.
Yes.
Like, so fun and good and perfect.
Here's what I want. I want these movies to intersect with the John Wick movies.
Yes.
I want the next villain of their team to be John Wick himself.
Yes.
And Charlize Theron in Atomic Blonde.
Oh my God.
And also Triple X.
By the way, it was the Atomic Blonde trailer before this?
Yes.
How great is
that? That movie looks fucking rad.
Yeah. She's amazing too. I mean, her body of work to go from like just amazing action films. Yeah. Like she does the best action films and then does like serious, like, and just knock off. Yeah.
Oh, and she's that's the other thing I think that they're doing a very good job of. They're pulling people into their universe who are great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, to pull in Jason Statham, or to first even to pull in The Rock, then to pull in Statham, now to pull in Charlize Theron.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, Kurt Russell. They're building out their world with, like, heavyweight people that are just having a blast.
And by the way, I would argue that's why Scott Eastwood, to me, falls flat a little bit. Because of Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Is kind of fantastic and floating almost above this movie. Just like, no one's calling, like, no one's phoning it in. They all have their own little lane and they just kind of hit it. Like,
I think also with Kurt Russell, I just wish he had more to do.
I wish he was in the fights.
Me
I wish
too.
He was driving around.
I think he was like shooting Guardians like on the stage next door. He's like, you got me for an hour.
Yeah.
I'll float in for this scene and I'm out.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I would like the next movie. I would like him to be a central element of the Statham Rock movie.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. Well,
yeah,
I bet he will be.
Yeah, I bet
he will be.
Another.
And I'm once again saying, please put me in that movie.
Another,
I'm begging you. People, please. Tweet at these filmmakers to
get
put me in that
in
movie.
These movies. I was like, I literally thought in this moment, I was like, they could have put us in any of those cars that went off on the.
I can be, Russian. I can be, we have luck. Okay, great. See, guys, fucking nailed it.
Can I tell you about my new favorite tech tool? Well, it's the Playbase by Sonos. What is the Playbase? All right, picture this. It's a flat little speaker that sits underneath your TV. It practically disappears beneath your TV, but then fills your entire viewing room with epic home theater audio. This thing blew my mind. From movies to sports to TV to gaming, this slim, low-profile Playbase adds dynamic, pulse-pounding sound to whatever is playing on your TV. It even streams your favorite music when it's off. It does. I have this in my office, and when I play this, people stop by my office and be like, whoa, did you just get, like, tons of speakers in there? And this is, like, sounds like kind of a story I would tell on an ad. It is actually what happens in my real office. It is just created for TVs that sit on stands and furniture. No wall mount is required, which is great, because who the fuck wants to mount shit into your wall, especially if you're in an apartment? One power cord, one optical cord, that's all it takes. You can hook it up within seconds if you know where your optical cord and your power cord are. I mean, if you do it like that, I say damn near 30 seconds you can get this thing done. Playbase also supports TVs up to 75 pounds, which covers about any TV that comes with its own stand. And it works with all TV, cable boxes, universal remotes. It's great. You're going to love the Playbase. If you've been looking for an excuse to get home theater, amazing sound, but you don't want to buy like 8 speakers, this is it. See for yourself. Go to Sonos.com to learn more. That's Sonos.com. Did you know that not all ingredients are created equal? That's right. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference. So it's important to know where your food comes from. Thankfully, for less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron will deliver quality food courtesy of over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. right to your door, supporting a more sustainable food system and setting the highest standard for ingredients. Plus, with Blue Apron's freshness guarantee, you can be sure that every ingredient in your delivery will arrive ready to cook, or they'll make it right. No wonder they're the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Yes! You know why? Because I supported them. I was there from the beginning. They're the best. They're the number one food delivery service. No, they are delicious. I've tried a handful of these type of services. And I will say that Blue Apron was the one that was the easiest to use and had the food that was the most tasty. And that's a little bit tricky for me because I am a vegetarian, a pescatarian, if you must know. Occasionally, I'll eat some meat. Yeah, I'll do some barbecue and stuff. But For the most part, June and I, we're eating vegetarian. And to make that stuff delicious, I give a tip my hat. I tip my hat to them. So here are some of the upcoming meals they got. Spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza with olives, bell peppers, and ricotta salata. Sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot and ginger fried rice. Parmesan crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli. Don't these sound good? That's not simple, dumb meals. These are epic meals that will impress whoever you're making it for. Plus, baby broccoli and Fontina Pantinas with hard-boiled egg, and arugula salad. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping. I ask you this, what do you have to lose? Check it out, okay? Go to blueapron.com/bonkers. Get three meals on us. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/bonkers. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Oh, this is the other interesting thing. If you have not seen the movie, pay close attention to this. There is a strong rumor, and not even a rumor, I think it's verified by the film, The Rock and Vin Diesel never in the same shot.
Never. They never shot a scene together. They hate each other.
Okay, so tell me what we know about this, because is this true?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I did speak to a crew member on On Grace and Frankie, who worked on Fast 8. And I asked him about
the relationship. Now, wait a second, because I have just a super quick question. Yeah. Does that confirm that the next season of Grace and Frankie takes place with a lot of stunt driving?
Brianna's new hoopty that you're at?
It's Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin in a Fast-style car chase.
They really went in a different direction on season 4.
The next season is set in a women's prison, and they break out, and it becomes Death Race 2020.
Martin Sheen dream with, like, two guns.
Sam Waterston parachuting in on one of those Condor.
That crew member is like Fast 8 and now Grace and Frankie.
So he said, I said immediately, what's the relationship and dynamic between The Rock and Vin? And he said that they're not in scenes together, but that they're cordial. They just don't speak to each other.
Yeah.
And he said that Vin is lovely.
Okay. Huh. Well, there was a vulture.
Crew loves Vin.
Oh, interesting. There was a vulture article that was basically, you know, compared it to the Juliana Margulies, Archie Punjabi.
The Good Wife.
Good Wife.
Feud.
Feud that was the same thing. Like, and that, you know, basically saying that, you know, it's in there, and certainly that friction somehow adds to the allure of the story. But also, what a bummer, because those two guys together in scenes is always kind of electric.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like when they are facing off in that first, like, Brazil car show, you know, under the bridge there, and Hobbs shows up and they go toe-to-toe, it's exciting.
Yeah.
And so you lose that kind of electricity, I think.
Hobbs, who went from being just kind of like a kick-ass cop to now a fucking superhero.
Oh, yeah.
So much that when he goes to prison, which I have a couple questions about that, he rips a cement desk out of the wall.
Yeah.
Bench presses with it, and you're like, all right, I maybe buy that. And then later on in the movie, when he punches a fucking steel,
he dents a shipping container with a punch.
Yeah,
and
he's Superman.
He doesn't need to play Shazam, as he is long rumored to. He is currently doing it.
Like, why would you ever want to do it again?
And that's the thing is, like, these movies are superhero movies, but in a wonderful way, they ask nothing of you to accept power sets, weird origin stories. You don't have to get on board for anything weird. They're just people driving cars and going and doing crazy stunts and then walking away like laughing. They are laughing. They're having the best time.
They're also, and I'm sure we discussed this before, but they're also talking to each other through cars.
Yes.
While driving.
At normal speech volume.
And sometimes they have walkie-talkies.
While the windows are up.
Sometimes they have walkie-talkies, sometimes they don't. Like, Tej is dragging Roman and on the back of a car door, and he's like, hold on.
Yeah.
And wait, Roman just went underwater, was pulled out, and there's nothing working. There's
no communication. And it has, like, machine guns and guys on snowmobiles chasing him. They are talking, like at one point, Michelle Rodriguez pulls up next to Dom. This is when Dom's going to steal the EMP. And she goes, you okay?
Yeah, I was just
speeding. They're speeding at a billion miles an hour. They're in different cars. Their windows are up. Visibly, the windows are up. She goes, you okay?
Yeah, but not only...
And he goes, I'll see you when this is done.
Not only are they going really fast, they're going down a street that is barely a street. There's shit everywhere. They just stole that weapon in their first heist.
Yep.
And they're just...
kind of casual. You're right.
Casual.
You're
like,
you okay?
Yeah. Like a dinner party. Dinner party.
Yes.
Like, don't let the other guests hear our conversation level
happens
talking.
Throughout, though. So when The Rock and Statham are in the jail cells across from each other, I said 20 feet away from each other.
Sure.
They're at points screaming at each other to be heard, and then at other points talking like that.
Yeah. And then the other thing is the woman from Game of Thrones and Charlize Theron, while hacking, are talking as if they're talking to each other. Like, oh, I see what you're doing. You know, like, there's people are constantly manufacturing conversations where there is categorically no possibility that one would happen.
I also just want to, this is a side to this. I want to just get to the bottom of this first mission, which I, in a weird way, I thought that should have been the opening of the movie, like them just popping out. But I guess you need to set up all the other little things. But
need to shoot in Havana, bro.
You needed to shoot in Havana, and you need to see The Rock do those girls' soccer. The girls' soccer scene.
I loved it.
And I wanted to learn that dance.
I loved that chant when they are intimidating the other team. That was phenomenal.
I thought it was super fucking cute.
Yeah.
But I also thought it was super fucking cool that these girls, not only are they like strong and everything, but it was kind of weird. Like the face, the face the Rock makes at the end was just unusual. And for a movie like that, I thought it was weird and strong and cool.
I agree, Adam. I thought it was a great choice because they weren't too little that it was absurd and stupid. They were old enough that it was actually incredibly empowering.
Yeah.
And
they were like 10 or 11, right?
Yeah. It was like that age difference is huge.
It was rad.
But again, I don't understand how a movie like this, like that scene was legitimately fun and cool.
Yeah.
But no one else could pull off that scene. It's like only this franchise can do the baby in the airplane and that scene where you feel like, oh, like they did something here that – I don't know. It's a weird thing. No one's able to do like drive that line. I don't know if it's The Rock, the sheer power of
it
The Rock.
It really is. His natural charisma is effortless in a way that you are 100% on board for him being the softest, most wonderful dad.
Yeah.
And then also on board for him being a stone cold, cold-blooded murderer.
Yeah.
Well, it's
like,
weird.
Like volumes of bodies.
Yeah, yeah. I've not seen the movie Moana, but I'm about to talk about it because I feel like there's that The Rock is cultivating this interesting like role as father figure to young women.
Yep.
He is, isn't he?
Sure.
Again, having not seen Moana, but it seems like he's very into empowering, like fierce, brave, strong young women.
Moana
is amazing.
Moana is terrific, and if you know, and he is really great. He's more of the Han Solo character in it, but yes, it's a very empowering movie. Before I forget the line he says about tying his daughter into everything is the only he says to his superior, you know that the only thing I love more than saving lives is my daughter. Like, how could you not be on board with
that guy?
Here's
what's interesting about his ending, because you know when they let go of Brian, he took the road, like his death really was fatherhood. When he decided to like leave it and become a dad. But you didn't feel that when The Rock made that decision. Now, granted, we know the actor's alive, so I guess it's a little different.
Yeah.
But it felt like he was actually doing something that was just as brave and just as cool.
Yes.
And not like resigning to a life of misery.
The thing that is interesting, though, is the daughter does not have a mother. Right?
No.
Because they say later, where's my daughter? Why doesn't he know? She's with your sister.
Right.
Okay, fine, great. But where is that daughter's mother?
Yeah.
Well, she'll come back in Fast 10.
Yeah, I hope there are a lot of motherless children.
There are. Yeah.
There's a lot of single dads out there.
Well, I couldn't tell how Michelle Rodriguez felt at the very end in those last shots about being a stepmother figure. It didn't seem she was thrilled.
Not 100% on board.
Yeah.
It seemed like maybe Michelle Rodriguez found out about this plot point right before they shot the scene.
Wait, what?
Hey, what's that baby doing over there?
Yeah.
Oh, did we not? Okay.
Sorry, Michelle.
Because it is an interesting sidestep because it's sort of like, they allow you to keep all the drama of, all right, here's Elsa Pataky's character who we know. Now, just to
did she die early?
She was kicked out of the window when Statham came to The Rock in the last movie. They had that big fight, and he grabs her, and they fly out the window and land on the roof of the car.
Right.
And she's in the hospital. But at that point, has she given birth, or is she
pregnant?
If she's pregnant, she survived. By the way, a miracle of birth for her, because she fell out of a four-floor window on her back onto a car and had no problem to get it.
Well, but this brings up
a really important this brings up a really important timeline problem again, which is I don't think she and Dom had sex. Did they have sex in 7 or 6?
No, 6.
So what is the time period between 5, 6, 7, and 8? How much time? How many globe-trotting adventures?
It was 3.5 to 4 weeks. Like, no, but I mean, for the moment she's
how
pregnant,
old is that baby?
We see her. Well, that baby looks like maybe like 10 months, almost a year.
Okay, so the events of 6, 7, and 8 all must happen within a year and a half.
Yes, yeah. Well, absolutely.
To 2 years. A lot of adventure.
By the way, I would argue that this movie takes place in less than a week, right?
Yeah.
This whole movie is in less than a week.
Yes.
And you could, and then he was still on his honeymoon from the last movie in Havana. Like,
did they get married at the end of the last movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So this all could really be happening within 6 weeks.
Sure.
Like, I mean, that's bananas.
I mean, they're on their honeymoon for what? A week? What do you do? Honeymoon's like 10 days. Right?
I would love it if in the next movie, like, Tyrese has the flu for the whole movie. And he's like, what do you expect? We've been on the road globetrotting for 2 years. My immune system cannot recover.
I'm exhausted, guys.
I love Tyrese.
He's so Tyrese. Good. And Ludacris. So good.
Now, is Tyrese in other stuff? Well, where can I find him?
I'm sure he is.
I just don't
see him. There's Baby Boy.
Yeah. I just think he's incredible.
Yeah.
He's so effortlessly charming.
It's crazy.
It's wonderful.
Everything, I mean, well, that's this movie is, like, so much so that when they first introduce The Rock, in the beginning when they kind of team up with The Rock, like, The Rock meets his boss, I don't understand what's going on in that scene. And I think as an audience member, they're also like, they confused me because it's like, we're trying to pay attention to the soccer game. You kind of feel like Vin Diesel, like, there's an iPad, there's 2 minutes left. He's like, here's the thing, you got to do it. We won't hold you accountable. But it's like, wait, what is he?
Yeah.
Why, is he off duty? Is he in duty? Like, I don't understand.
Idea.
And then he gets busted in Germany, but then is brought to an American prison.
Well, they tell him that.
Yeah.
The guy says, you know, if you fail, you're going to jail, basically.
But wouldn't he go to jail in Germany? For stealing the thing from...
Like, no, Paul, he wouldn't.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't buy, though, about that soccer game, and I wonder how Vin feels about this, but, like, making The Rock such a, like, sexy guy in the neighborhood, I didn't entirely buy.
I wasn't into that.
You know, Vin, yes, absolutely, 100%.
Especially...
But The Rock...
Really?
Yeah.
You would rather have sex with Vin Diesel than The Rock.
100%.
Wow, wait.
Twice on Sundays.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. First of all, The Rock... is too muscular.
Jason's mouth is agape.
He's way too muscular. I love The Rock.
Okay.
I love him.
Of course. Just wouldn't want to fuck him.
No.
I just thought it was weird because
I'd be crushed. I mean, he's just too...
Too big.
He's way too big.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a weird moment. After that terrific kind of strong moment with the young girls... They go to this moment of all the women ogling him. That's not who he is culturally, the sex symbol. That was bizarre.
He's asexual a little bit in this world. Like, he never seemingly is interested in women. He's just sort of like, I'll protect you, and I'm a strong. But he's not like Roman and Tej. You're like, hey,
you know?
And Vin obviously has his girls. Like, he doesn't have...
strange. And I wondered if, like, is this The Rock wanting that moment, or...
I think the...
I don't know.
I doubt it.
Really?
Because I don't feel like he's cultivating that persona in any other movies. In none of his movies is he the playboy? Is he the tomcat? Is he any kind of guy that, like, has a kind of sexual vibe, you know?
And he does blow it off in this. He's just like, oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
he's not playing into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but that's even more of, like, the guy is, you know.
Right.
He is. I mean, the character isn't, but. That's what we're supposed to believe. That, like,
it's an interesting choice in this movie to have Michelle Rodriguez be like, start the conversation with her new husband about whether or not they're going to have children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it is revealed that he just got the other woman pregnant, and now they're going to raise that child.
It's a cheat of epic proportions because they're like, we don't want to kill Michelle Rodriguez. How can we get it? Like, because ideally what would have happened was like they capture Michelle Rodriguez. She's pregnant or they have a kid. Like, you know, like, but they can't have the drama there.
Right.
So they just kind of manufacture like, now you got kids and you were never pregnant.
Yeah.
Fast Nine, let's go. Like, you know,
it would have been more interesting to me if he had said that to her in that bedroom scene.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, like, she has to sort of deal with the consequences of motherhood. Like, yeah. It felt like they kind of sold out her character a bit.
Buddy didn't get her moment.
Yeah. And also, like, I didn't quite believe that she wanted to have children.
I just thought it was odd that she would bring it up. Then the baby's presented out of her purview, and then when presented with it, she doesn't have any discernible emotional reaction.
No, I think she's
like they
worried.
Didn't carve out a moment for that after she brought. I think you're right. If he brought it up, it would make it kind of kismet and interesting that there is a baby of yours in the world. And
right, you did do it because like, he said, you know, I love having all this fun, but I always want to be a, you know, it's like,
right.
And the weirdest thing, we have to just call it out. I understand it from the actor Vin Diesel. I don't understand it with the movie. So at the end, they basically said the baby has no name.
So the baby does not have a first name.
And so the movie kind of ends with, you know, Vin Diesel back at that family table, you know, very much the barbecue is happening on the roof in Hell's Kitchen. And he's got the baby. And he's like, I'm going to now give you the name of the baby. The baby's mother was straight up murdered.
Yeah, in front of him.
Like, in front of him.
In front of the baby.
That was terrible. That and, was just terrible.
And you would think there would be a play on Elena's name. That's the mother, right?
Yeah.
But no, nope. They name him after Brian.
Yep.
Paul Walker, who in this universe—
is still alive.
Still alive and just not in the mix.
Yeah.
And there's no reason. Right. There is no reason
to
for
pay
that.
Tribute to him.
I mean, there's actually no reason why he shouldn't be at that party on the roof.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They can still hang out.
By the way, I thought for like I was like, they're gonna just do a quick cut and he'll be like
one of his brothers
he'll
or whatever.
Just be in the corner and you're just gonna see him with me. Like I thought that would be like
Think they didn't consider it. Have a meeting about it.
I guarantee you before this franchise is over, Paul Walker will come back in one of these movies. Yeah. Like there's no doubt about it. Like and like I felt like they couldn't do it because it was so close, but
They might as well have just named the kid Paul.
Yes.
Like, that's the equivalent of doing what they did.
It almost would have been better.
Yes.
Because the other one is, like, we're tributing this guy. Like, and this mission has nothing to do with Brian.
Well, I will say, I agree with all of this.
Name it Han.
I agree with all of it. And I also cried when I heard the name.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
June so had a full
I agree
view.
With it all, but it still you really 100% got
you really got into the tears on that one at the end. It was kind of it was a sweet
I loved
moment.
It was a very sweet moment.
In the world of the movie, they are behaving as if he died.
Yes.
I mean
yes.
It's they're for all intents and purposes, they're acknowledging.
And but again,
I thought
another
the weirder
graceful
scene though was them like deciding whether or not to call him and Mia in.
Yeah.
For help. It's like, well, what are the stakes here? We know they're not coming.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just have to, I think what they have to do is.
I think Mia would probably come.
They have to simply acknowledge it. They have to be like, because the way it is they are family. Like, you have to be like, let's them sit this one out. Like, for the rest of these films, they have to always say, they're going to have to.
Right. They painted themselves into a corner with, you know, keeping them.
Alive.
Yeah. The other thing I want to talk about, and we're going back to the beginning for me, is in Brazil when he races that guy in a pretty great opening race. Yeah. The Cuba sequence. So, like, at the end, he doesn't take the guy's car. He says, you keep your car, but now I got his respect.
Yeah.
Why would you want respect from a guy who seemingly is a straight-up fucking villain?
Right.
Like, an asshole. Like,
Because
he's the kind of villain that's Dom's kind of guy. You know what I mean? Like, that guy is basically Dom in Fast and Furious 1.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's like a street tough, you know?
But in order to win this dumb race with this idiot, he literally is at death's door.
Yes. And almost kills a whole group of people.
Lots and lots of
people. Get out of the way!
From his conversation with Charlize later on, I think what he's trying to do there is, I mean, he says it later that he's trying to change, like, hearts and minds, essentially.
Yeah.
So I think
one
he's trying to, I think he is trying to get that guy to be more like him now and to say, you don't need to fight. You don't need to sort of bribe and, you know, steal things from people.
You can be the Robin Hood.
Yes, with respect, you know, anything is possible.
Maybe that maybe that guy is going to be on a team next year.
Oh,
or next movie.
He's
that
good. Guy? Can we quickly talk about when he first runs into Charlize Theron?
Oh, yeah.
He's walking home from the store.
Did you
check out what was in that bag?
Oh,
no.
It was peeking out of the bag that Vin Diesel's carrying.
Oh, like a baguette.
Is a baguette.
Of course a baguette.
And
every actor carries a baguette when they're coming.
Absolutely.
Yep, Cuba, the place synonymous with baguettes.
A single red rose. So some bread and a rose for his lady.
My favorite part about that scene is Charlize Theron's car won't start. She's under the hood. No one is in the driver's seat, but it keeps trying to turn over.
That's right.
I was like, it would take what we're looking at right now, the sound of it trying to turn over but not, and her under the hood takes two people to make happen.
Yeah.
But they don't have two people. It was
she had a ghost of some sort.
Well, she had those drones. She could
But that's the thing I love about this movie is there are no ghosts. There are no supernatural things. There are no people from space. There are no powers. There is nothing. Yeah. It is just people versus people, and that is what's exciting about it.
It really does count for a lot.
Yes.
Because I think people are sick of, you know, a villain that has
faceless,
superhuman and faceless and taking over
omnipotent,
the world.
It's simple because these are gigantic set pieces. I have no idea how they shot that sequence in New York City without shutting down New York for a month.
It was unbelievable. When Charlize Theron's team takes over all of these self-driving cars and causes them to like basically pool together into like a wave of empty cars. That was so awesome.
It was incredible.
And a great idea. And when she says, make it rain, and they just start driving them out of parking garages, like on upper floors. I thought it was great.
I did wonder why those dignitaries or whoever they were who had the nuclear football didn't just get out of the car and like walk into a store.
Sure. Right. Can't do everything has to be on wheels. In cars.
If a nuclear football is stolen, you can just disable the code.
But it seemingly was that nuclear football was the controls for the weapon. It wasn't like codes.
Right.
Because like when they reveal it, it's like, oh, there it is. Yep. It's all in Russian.
Yeah.
They don't carry around like the detonators.
Like the button.
Yeah.
Seeing those cars start and start moving without...
Yeah, what did you think about that? I felt like you might have thoughts on that.
It really freaked me out.
Just cars that are autonomous like that?
But I am worried.
About what?
I'm worried about cars and planes and the self-driving autopilot, all of that software. I'm worried about it getting hacked and something like this happening.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I think a perfectly legit concern.
Thank you.
I think
I'm also worried about teenagers driving.
Yeah, sure.
I think that this scene was largely a warning for our future. Yes. I mean, it was more of a commentary than anything else, right?
They're on the pulse. If I was to give the Fast and Furious franchise a note, one note, is that I feel like they set up very large comedic premises that they don't fully play out. And this is the example of it. Like when the parking attendant is giving the ticket, and the car just like takes off and like hits the meter. I feel like they could just let her sit for a second, like, what a day. But they cut right away from it.
They cut very quickly.
They don't have time.
Like moments.
And they cut away from. They don't want to. If it's not Roman, they're not. Or the macho between Statham and Rock. They know how to do comedy, but they set up overtly. Like even the guy getting out of the elevator. Like that's like fucking 80s comedy, like pie throwing moments.
I was just gonna say they should watch the Blues John Landis movie before doing
that. I'm talking about two more seconds.
But the sequence with the baby, I felt was cut for comedy like beautifully.
I mean, that sequence
was just so perfect.
And again, the cars raining down, and the kind of army of the sea of cars driving could have been so dumb and so badly done. And it was absurdist, and they were kind of commenting on the absurdity of it while keeping the stakes and keeping, like, it was a masterful set piece.
Oh, yeah.
F. Gary Gray, like, I really think, like, he mastered this movie. And from a guy who seemingly doesn't have, like, a, like, he, oh, I guess he directed The Italian Job, which is one of my favorites.
Great,
like,
that's great, great car chases.
But, yeah, like, it, like, he really, like, just pulled, I mean, it looks so good. The other question, too, is, you know, in this movie, the fish warehouse is the toy store.
That was unbelievable.
Now, they had to go undercover in the fish truck, but why did it have to be a real fish truck with, like, dead fish inside?
And also, when they get to the fish market, why is it a functioning fish market is just the facade, is just the front, is, like, guys who are actually preparing fish.
Oh, yeah.
They need somewhere to do it.
I guess so, but aren't those guys, like, are those guys trustworthy?
Right.
Or are those guys working for the CIA or whatever?
I saw Kurt Russell come in here this morning. They opened a giant warehouse door, and I saw 500 cars behind. Yes. Like, it's not like a hidden door. It's not
it's
a hidden office.
It's like the Jay Leno garage.
The U.S.
That is Jerry Seinfeld's garage.
Oh, my God. I would love it if those doors opened and Jay Leno in denim and denim shirt, denim jeans, walked out and was like, oh, you guys need some cars? Welcome to the toy
and
box.
And he's shooting his, like, A&E show or whatever.
like in a Model T in a 1938 fire truck is like, you guys need some cars?
By the way, I would have loved for them to pass by comedians in cars doing coffee in the middle of the
amazing
in the New York City. Now they've relocated to New York for no reason.
Where were they before?
LA. They've always been in LA.
Right. I thought it was weird that the final dinner was in New York rather than downtown LA.
They're all, I mean, I guess their house did blow up in the last movie.
Yes, that's true.
But it didn't seem like they were moving. It wasn't like, and now we move to New York. I also just don't understand, like, people, before I saw this movie, and I tried to say as spoiler-free as I can, and by the way, it worked, because I was very surprised by everything.
Same.
Hey, everybody, we have to take a brief break in the Fast and Furious action to give a word of thanks to our sponsors, and also a word of birth to Kylie Lynch. Okay, Kylie, your friend, Taylor Sigler, wants me to tell you happy birthday. And I'm not just going to tell it to you. I'm going to sing it to you. Happy birthday, Kylie Lynch. You did it up, and now you're going to do it again. Have a birthday, and I'm going to take a shit. Also, a big thank you to our $200 advertisers in training. That's right. These are listeners who reached deep into their pockets and pulled out 200 bones for us. That's from Cameron Dunbar. Cameron Dunbar, you're a true man's man. You're a champion. You would be on my Fast and Furious team. You are my Dom Toretto to my Letty. You are my Statham to my Helen Mirren. You're the best, but no better than Murphy Whitley, who is equal to you, Murphy. Oh, Murphy, not Murphy Brown, Murphy Whitley. Murphy Whitley, you surprise me. You never cease to shock me. Your caring, your sensitivity, your love for life, your zest for exploration. You are someone I'd like to go on vacation with and drink a pina colada with and then disappear forever, leading you on one of the best adventures of a lifetime because you thought it was just a typical Hawaiian vacation, but now you have to find your vacation buddy. Was I kidnapped? We don't know. Tune in for the adventures of Murphy Whitley. There's a show that I am a big fan of. It is on CISO. If you have the CISO network, you know that they have amazing original series, Next Day Late Night, and hilarious stand-up specials with binge-worthy classics, including 42 seasons of Saturday Night Live and the entire Monty Python catalog, The It Crowd, and more. But they have this brand new show with one of my favorite stars from Bajillion Dollar Properties, which is a Kulap Vilesak show. It is called Shrink, and the basic idea of it is it's a story about a med school graduate with over $500,000 in student loan debt. He can't find a job, and so he starts conducting free therapy sessions for patients that he finds on Craigslist. It's exceptionally funny. There's amazing Chicago improvisers in it. Tim Baltz, who is my friend from Bajillion Dollar Properties, he's hilarious as the shrink in the show. It's only available on CISO. You will binge it. You will love it. And it's so damn good. It's ad-free. which is amazing, and it's on demand, so you can watch it whenever you want. Access CISO anytime, anywhere on iOS, Android, Apple TV, and almost any other device, all for only $3.99 a month. I added it on to my Amazon subscription because it's so easy to do. Just go to CISO, CISO.com right now to sign up for 1 month free with the promo code BONKERS at checkout. That's CISO.com, spelled CISO.com, promo code BONKERS, CISO.com, promo code BONKERS. Everyone's like, oh, it's launching, it's going to launch a new franchise. I didn't feel like this, like, drastically rejiggered the franchise. I mean, it just added more players to it. But it wasn't like, I thought they were going to be like, I thought it was going to now be like, oh, maybe Vin Diesel's going to be bad for three movies. And then,
Like, this is movie one of the final trilogy.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. This is the first movie of the last three movies that will act as a trilogy.
Then they can go and do like four Rock ones.
Yes, I think Rock and Statham are going to be their own thing now.
Now, so is Vin Diesel pissed in general about that?
I would assume so.
Well, you know, I think that Vin Diesel
wants
because he's credited with Neil Moritz as the producer.
June loves Vin Diesel.
Love him.
I'm fascinated.
He's great in this movie.
Listen, he's great. He went to a new place in this movie. There are a couple of moments where he's like, oh, what? He freaked out. He's never done that.
He opened up in a different way. Yeah. And I saw more of his humanity and his vulnerability. And I loved
tears.
It.
He did it. Like, but
he
by the way,
a great job
as a producer. I think it was good for him because he did a like. He's a producer. Like, mm-hmm. clearly, he's like, give me something meaty to do because like I'm doing the same thing for eight of these, and he did like I've never seen him emote like emote.
It was not. It was good.
It was great.
It helped.
He did a good job, you know. And I think it helped probably to have him doing it opposite. A phenomenal actor. Charlize Theron is like terrific actor.
She's the best.
Giving him somebody great to work off of. It's not like he has to do it in front of like computer monitors or whatever, you know, like in the past or just on behind the steering wheel. He's like got heavy stuff. Like the fact that they kill Elena is in front of him is great. And it really sends him like emotionally. I mean, it's terrible. And I hated the scene because I like that character, but it does. It is like, and this is a terrible catalyst to make men do great things is to kill the women in their lives. Yeah, and it is a not great trope in a lot of these movies, but he does get to good stuff in that Charlie's stuff, you know?
But I think like,
I don't know.
I do like that another thing with that, like connected to what you're saying about none of these, the bad guys have superpowers or whatever, is also they have these scenes in every movie, especially this one, because they had such a terrific actress playing the villain, is that they have like 4 or 5 page scenes between the main hero and the villain, and they're having a conversation, and it's all kind of action movie speak and stuff, but it's good. They're both good in it. And
that scene, that scene where he's like...
The crocodile scene,
Where he, is a fantastic scene. It is... quiet. These movies are never quiet.
And which scene are you talking about?
When after Elena has been killed and he's fuming and she comes out and she tells him the story about how, you know, it's biology that tells us to look after our children and that she's the crocodile at the river and if you don't watch your kid, blah, 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 they're going to get snatched, this, that, and the other, is such a quiet menace in movies that are frequently just shouting loud, driving explosion. Yeah. Like, she represents a threat that is not beat upable, you know, which is amazing.
But there was something interesting, and I felt this is maybe, again, I always am looking at Vin Diesel going like, well, let's turn it up a notch. Like, she, in the first sequence, when he's going to like, she's like, I know what you're thinking. You're going to take the gun from this guy, and you're going to shoot me, and but let me tell you, there's cameras here, and if you do that, you can't get over here, and then you'll die. Like, she sets up a whole, basically a scenario in which there is no way out. Like, what she sets up to him is like, you can try something, but it won't work.
Yeah.
And then Vin Diesel has to go like, well, actually, even if I did do that and beat that, then you'd still win because this other thing that you didn't even mention. It was like, well, you don't need to add like
enough. He always has to win.
You don't have to like one up. Like she just said, you're in an unwinnable situation.
You're boxed in, dude.
Yeah. And then he was like, well, now I'm even more boxed than you even think I'm boxed in. That's how smart I am. I know your plan more than you.
She's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I
mean,
I was worried about who was taking care of baby Brian after Elsa Pataky got killed.
Yeah.
I mean, he just seemed to be alone.
The red-haired guy from Game of
Thrones. Tormund, Giant's Bane.
this movie, by the way,
I loved. I love that actor.
He's great.
And by the way, he was scary.
He reminded me of the Game of Thrones guy from Triple X. And because in Triple X, he had the Hound. The Hound.
Yeah. So
he's really like, I'm putting Vin Diesel up there as like, he has figured it out. Like
he knows what he's doing.
Apparently, Helen Mirren said she wanted to be in the movie after they were filming, and he was like, "All right, guys, let's get together." They wrote a scene, and then they just went and shot
that scene.
Awesome. Like,
and so wait. So I'm saying I want to be in the movie.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Guys. Like, guys, like, write it in.
Let's do this.
I can be Tormund Giant's Bane.
Jason's like the Helen Mirren of Earwolf.
I mean, here's the thing. Now that they've got like bearded guys in the movie, give me a shot.
Yeah.
I get it.
Bald
up until
guy,
now.
Bearded guy. Jason looks like Elsa Pataky. Adam, what do you bring into the table?
I can be like Scott Eastwood's uncle.
All right.
Yeah. Guys, we should make a Shadow movie. We should make Fast 9 before they can put it out.
I would love it. Oh, my gosh.
I'd love to be a part of the team.
I want to.
Do they end every movie together like having a family? Having a beer, like having a barbecue?
Corona. Yeah. And by the way, the Coca-Cola placement in Cuba was amazing. Everyone was drinking Coca-Cola label to camera, like, bam.
Used the can to save the day, essentially.
Yep. By the way, just to put it in perspective, if you're wondering, this movie is number one in worldwide openings, right? So it made $539 million.
Opening weekend.
Opening weekend.
Wow.
Force Awakens only made $529 million.
Wow.
And Jurassic World, $525. It is just a fucking gigantic juggernaut. I mean, it's insane.
Well, they're so smart. They do such a good job.
Yeah.
It's an international cast. Yeah. It's an international movie. They go all over the world. They incorporate all of the people of those countries.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
As of 4/24, which was yesterday as we're recording this, it made $908 million.
Wow.
Fuck.
And the budget of this is only $250 million.
But
I mean, at that number, that's fucking crazy.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
And I think it feels to me, I don't know why I think it feels cheaper than the Avengers. Like, it feels like a more, like, not cheaper, like, but like, you, it's more. You
earthbound.
Can, earthbound, yeah. Like, I don't think there's not a lot of, I mean, I guess there is tons of CGI.
Oh, there's some, I bet this is the like comparable the, in every way. That, they're just different.
That sequence at the end with the endless kind of, I swore, like they were driving for 20 minutes on the, it was like the runway. But when the sub started coming up and shit got very real with the cars and stuff was moving really fast, like that CG is so good.
It doesn't look like it. Yeah.
So good.
Well, that's the thing that they're doing is they're using CG to represent reality.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, you're using CG in the Marvel movies to make a person fly, which is already something that they don't do.
Yeah.
So there is a disconnect there. So you're even if you do it really well, or even if you do like the Quicksilver scene, like running fast really well and do an original version of it, it still is representing something that we have no frame of reference for.
Yeah.
And what's great about these movies is that they're, I'm sure, spending insane amounts of money to make stuff look as close to how we understand the world to look as possible, just super heightened.
I did wonder why when the submarine was coming after them, they didn't just like veer to the left or
right. They don't, they never scatter.
I don't think that sub can turn.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, also when Vin Diesel came into the mix when he became good again, and he just hit the missile truck and the missiles just perfectly just like pop, 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 pop. Can we just also talk about the prison breaks?
Oh, wait, they were heat seekers, though, right?
No, I think
only the one from the toilet.
Yeah. Right. Sorry.
Okay. That prison break sequence was fucking awesome.
Amazing.
Like, rivaled, like, even, like, Face Off. Like they had a futuristic prison that was really fun.
Yep.
But and again, like, Statham's so good at fighting, and The Rock is so good. Like, it just, like, I don't know. I feel like Vin Diesel's strength isn't, like, fist fights or anything
right. like that. Movement.
Right. That's, he has a reason.
He's always in a car.
He has a
he's kind of lumbering
he
otherwise.
He has like a ladder Steven Seagal movement to his
like
body.
When they are, when they're like, you got to run, you see him grab the case and kind of lumber off screen like, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, well, like Triple X 3, that opening sequence, he's not in that sequence at all.
Yeah.
No, it's all stunt doubles.
Also, I noticed one thing in this movie that, June, you and The Rock have something very in common. You both drive the same size cars. The Rock,
big, he's always in a big giant car.
Yeah, and you like, I was like, oh, that's what you and The Rock are have in common.
I think we have a lot in common.
Yeah.
Well, you both have those tattoos.
All those tattoos, exactly.
But yeah, I think the prison break was my favorite sequence.
I agree.
Loved it.
That like, was so fun. Those, that whole sequence with the two of them.
It's incredible. Like, you're with The Rock up here. He's battling a guy, and they're also tracking with him, and there's another, Jason Statham is the level below making his way through the guys. Like, they have two
planes.
Very elaborate stunts happening at the same time.
And the I've never seen it done in a movie, so I was really excited about it. Just him getting hit with those rubber bullets, like, pop, 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 and he's like, duh. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like
bulletproof. They made a way that he can just be bulletproof.
Yeah.
That sequence really is on par with. I mean, it's just a great,
it's great. It's great. And what I loved about it was the payoff of those previous scenes where the two of them are in cells across from each other, just glowering and taunting and just building up this chemistry and this dynamic so that when it explodes hard.
Yeah.
It was great.
They always have their eye on character before letting anything bust loose.
Totally, yeah.
They make sure to set the stage for it. It's really good.
Here's just some of the taglines of the movie, which I think are pretty great. New roads ahead. Good one.
Yeah.
Family no more. And the last one is the ride isn't over. And this is my favorite one. Ride or die, remember. Ride or die, remember is my favorite tagline to this movie.
Is that what they said in like the first one?
I think it's always ride or die, but it's sort of like, remember. Here's a little fast fact for you. You'll notice in the scene where Kurt Russell's explaining they've all made the most wanted list, he calls out each person in the room as 6, 8, 9, and 10, skipping number 7, which is Paul Walker.
Got it.
And then
also their respective numbers on the call sheet.
Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there.
And let me be very clear. My opinion
is great.
5 stars.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
My opinion is that this is a 5-star movie.
No doubt about it.
I tried
describing the car raining sequence this morning to my kids on the way to school. I could not keep it to myself.
Yeah.
It is.
And I did not do it justice. It's impossible.
It is a great sequence. That's the set piece I liked the most.
When the cars are whipping down, it's like a swarm of bees, but cars. And again, I don't know where they shot this or how much of CGI, based on the other films, like even when they pop out of the towers in Dubai, they were still popping out of towers in Atlanta. Like, they are using practical cars. Like, you feel that there are real cars.
Real pieces of machinery. And it could feel so dumb.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how they avoid
it. Really could.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing those cars. And I did have a laugh, like, seeing one of them start driving away.
With the guy in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. But it's... works.
It didn't feel dumb. Well, I'm sure they just had a bunch of incredible drivers do it and just, erase the people out of them. So it just looks like cars actually driving. It doesn't have that weird gravity that CG gives you.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel fake at all.
They're not drifting. Yep. They're not Tokyo drifting. And also Vin Diesel and his homage to Heat in the full black.
I love that. Yes.
It turned into a trauma movie.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is Vin Diesel being like, I could be the Punisher.
Yeah.
So cool.
Just paint that skull on that chest plate.
I want to see that Marvel movie. Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there that had a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
Well, maybe you think this movie really sucks. Maybe you think you wasted your $12. Maybe you feel like throwing some shade. Wonder how the fuck did this get made?
Right.
Oh, baby, I think it's a work of art. I do believe a
magnum opus from the start.
Yeah.
So good.
And if you feel like giving it 5 stars on Amazon, I'll second that opinion.
Wow.
Amazing.
If you think that Rotten Tomatoes doesn't have dominion.
Oh, wow.
I'll second that opinion.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was amazing.
Incredible.
Good. Wow. I just want to say that people are really stepping up with these songs.
That was Jake Moore. He killed it. We've had tons of these new songs. 41 songs.
Jake Moore from Action?
Jake, yeah.
Action.
Obviously.
That was the first. They introduced just putting beeps into.
Yeah. And they were. That was a great show.
It was.
Here are some. I mean, obviously. These are 5-star reviews, and we agree with these 5-star reviews. I'm just going to read some of the best parts of it. This is from Justin Heath, written just a handful of days ago. It brings exactly what you expect with some differences, which, according to taste from every spectator, will be positive or negative. Really covering the bases there.
An opinion about opinions.
Yeah, and then he goes, overall, The Fate and the Furious is more of the same, but with variations which will make the formula even more appetizing or less attractive for the fans, according to their personal preference. I personally enjoyed The New Road, as it's slightly more serious without sacrificing the extreme ridiculousness of the stunts, which surpass any rational criteria. 5 stars.
Yeah.
But you know what? Some people might disagree with him, and he's okay with that. Whatever your opinion is. This one is from our friend M. McFarland, written just yesterday. And this, I think I brought it, these are not necessarily as funny because they're just as glowing as we are giving it. Because I have to give credit to Charlize Theron. Any other actress in this role may not have been able to bring the energy she was able to capture, which I think we talked about. Mm-hmm. She really did a great job there. I think I think this is the first time, she was more of a verbal villain. Like, they have action villains. Like, Statham
they and
cracked
the
code on him in this movie. Like, they figured out how to make Statham into, like, a real big movie star, I think, in this movie.
But
He's so great.
So good. But what they realized was he's funny.
Yeah.
He's the best part of Spy. You know, the Melissa McCarthy, Paul Feig movie. And because he's just like hilarious in a way that you are not at all. Maybe not the best part of the movie, but the most surprising for me part of that movie, because he was so funny and they used that here to great effect, I thought.
This is from the review guy who kind of takes a swipe at Vin Diesel. Goes, in terms of Vin Diesel movies this year, The Fate and the Furious is much better than the $85 million hand job XXX Return of Xander Cage. He goes, I would say this is my new favorite. No dull moments, complete insanity. If you would have told me 16 years ago that I would be sitting in the theater seeing the 8th Fast and Furious movie and it would be my favorite, I would have called you crazy and thought you were high. Anyways, I heard there's supposed to be 2 more movies, and I hope the next 2 get even more ridiculous, that we go into the ocean, like June you wanted, or into space. I feel like they have to do that.
Or a volcano.
By the way, or they'll have to escape a volcano. Did you write this review? Escape a volcano or a hurricane or something. I don't know. I'm sure Vin Diesel will try to figure out some way to make himself look better than everyone.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I just can't imagine being on this team, the team that keeps putting these together, and being day one of
the next thing. Okay. Reset.
What are we going to do? Like, the mountain of work that's in front of these movies are enormous.
Yeah. And you are severely handicapped by the cars.
Yeah, because that's the problem with space. Yeah. The problem with space is because of their cars, they need gravity.
Right.
You know, how are we going to drive like rovers slowly on on the moon?
I can imagine a world in which something's happening with a rocket launch, and one of them drives onto the rocket and is just launched with the rocket.
Into orbit?
Into orbit.
Within their car.
Yes, they're sitting on top of the rocket.
Yeah.
And they get launched by accident.
Well, as we wind it
up. I can see that
happening.
That would
be incredible.
As we wind it up, do we want to make, obviously, I think one of the things that the people who listen to this show know, we called Helen Mirren. We set up Helen Mirren. And Charlize Theron. I think we mentioned that Helen Mirren should be Statham's mom.
Really? Oh,
yes.
I didn't know
that. And we also said that that Charlize would be a great foil.
Really?
Yes.
We do you call think both they listen things. To this?
I have no
they
idea. Must.
If that's the case, way. Then I'm going to go on record once again and say that Jason Mantzoukas should be the villain in the next Fast
Guys,
and Furious
I got
movie.
The head to get in the car. Get me in there. We have two more movies. They're in New York now. We got a big team. We got babies. We got daughters.
Well, I think who do you want?
Yeah, who would you like
to see? Look at it as who do you want?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Mm. Like, I feel like everyone in that universe, everyone that's like.
You know who I would like?
Yeah.
And who I could see and who would have been a better, instead of Scott Eastwood,
yeah.
I wish the new guy they had inserted into the team was Channing Tatum.
That he would have been great.
I feel like he's like too like he's probably
he could
like
be,
he has his own franchise.
I agree, but
he would I be agree. Amazing. Someone like a Channing or a Chris Pratt, like someone who's Grace. Got the sort of lovable
and,
boyish quality,
and funny way, enough, yes. Chris to like Pine, carry yes. that stuff.
Chris Pine could have done like a yeah. role like that because sure. He has
Chris
both.
Pine's
the, yeah,
a great idea.
Villain wise.
Jason Mantzoukas.
I, you know, like I wonder if they go even bigger and they get someone like
Javier Bardem.
Like, oh, wow. Yeah, Javier Bardem would be great.
Benicio del Toro,
great.
I was thinking, but you know, these are both guys who are now. I think like Javier Bardem is one of the big guys in. He was a Bond villain, and then
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates, that's what he's oh, in. Right?
Maybe Daniel Craig.
I was
ooh,
thinking,
I like that.
I was thinking, why am I can't remember him? There Will Be Blood. What's his name?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah,
dude. Wow.
That would be
yes. unbelievable
to see him. Like, if this is it, like, because he did like that 8.5 musical, and I feel like he had fun. Like,
yeah.
you could see him crushing
that
a movie
would be,
like that.
Would be unbelievable.
Can you imagine how nervous Vin Diesel would be before those scenes?
Oh, my. Yeah. And he would be in character, so he would learn how to fucking drive a
here's
car like
I
that?
Here's what I want. Here's what these movies, what if he arrives, like, via time machine?
You mean from
the Bill the Butcher?
Yeah.
Like
he's like from the past, Daniel Day-Lewis. He's Lincoln. Oh. He's Lincoln from the past, and he's pissed
off. I would like
off.
To tell you.
I don't know. Why don't I?
I think that Daniel Day, like, because now, like, Helen Mirren has opened up the gates.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I think Charlize Theron, too. It's like, oh, we can be fucking super legitimate and yeah. come into this movie and just, you know,
well,
make
you swing say, your Oscar
yeah,
around.
Yeah.
You say yes. Daniel Craig, I'll put Hugh Jackman in there. Like, I would
oh,
love
yeah.
a
yeah.
Hugh Jackman, like, Australian, like, you know, make him like a villain of like Rupert Murdoch level uh-huh. kind of like person.
Yeah.
But Harrison Ford?
He's tricky because he was in Expendables and I found him to be weak in that movie. Like he doesn't
see that one.
He like basically has a scene which it felt like they shot in one day. Like he has a lethargy sometimes in his performance that I feel like
and
is,
but this is he's been so great lately.
You're right. Mm. If he brings that energy
what about
to
like
it.
Like a Denzel.
Great.
Oh, yes.
100%
yes.
in on
one,
that.
Yeah, that yes. would be great.
By the way, that's the villain move for the next yeah. movie. 100%. Yeah. That is
Denzel
100%.
And Katherine Heigl together.
As the joint villains, I would be into
by the
that.
Way, I'm into it. She's already killing it in that movie. But Denzel would be.
I think Denzel
that's a
Washington.
Huge.
Denzel yeah. is
that's it.
Perfect.
Top of the list. That's
yeah.
the
it.
Move.
Yeah.
Because he also would like, and you know he would crush
oh,
those
yeah,
scenes.
I don't see Daniel Day-Lewis ever actually doing
yes.
it, even
no.
though it would be.
But Denzel,
amazing.
I can see
I
doing
can see
it.
Him
yes.
Doing
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
I'm in. In like an Antoine Fuqua directed
yes.
Fast
yes.
and Furious,
which would
movie.
Be awesome.
Which would be
I
amazing.
Love to see
he's
that.
Great.
But again, I would argue you wouldn't predict Gary Gray to do as good of a job as like Justin Lin has done.
Sure.
Like, you know these, and he did. Like he did. Yeah. I think he did a really.
This
good
is time. the other people that I want on this movie are the guys from The Raid. The actors.
Oh,
I want the
yes.
team. I want the team to include
they
the guys
have
from
to
the raid.
Go to Tokyo. Like
yes, that is a style we have not yet seen incorporated.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Those kind of insane long form one-on-one fist fights.
Yes.
Like the raid one.
But,
raid
but,
two.
But
as
by
well.
The way, put the raid guys with Statham and The Rock in their spinoff because they're more mobile. They're more
great.
Mobile.
Yeah,
great.
And because they incorporated the like close contact John Wick
yes,
shooting
yeah.
in this one, which was. They did so well. It would be cool to see those like long
yes.
shots
of just masterful,
yes.
like choreographed fight sequences.
Well, there you go, Vin Diesel. Those are our ideas right there. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. You can give us a call at 619 Paul Ask, 619 PAULASK. We play them in the mini episode. We can hear what you have to ask about this movie or anything else in general. Adam, We were talking before we started. You're fantastic, and Big Little Lies.
Thank you.
And what? Anything else you want to plug while we're here?
I've got a movie coming out. I don't know if it's a Netflix movie. It might come out like in the fall, I guess.
Okay.
It's called Little Evil.
Those are from the Tucker and Dale versus Evil guys, right?
Yes.
Which is a really fun, fun movie.
So that's. That's
June.
Pretty much it.
I'll plug the third season of Grace and Frankie, which is out on Netflix.
Awesome.
So good.
So good.
What it really is. Show. Naomi and I started watching it just in the past like 3 weeks and have burned through it. It is.
It's very watchable.
You get to work with Martin Sheen and Sam White, all those guys. They're amazing. And you're so, so good.
It gets better and better every season, too. It really, like this last season was great. Jason?
I got nothing. Just this podcast. Tell your friends about it. Why not?
And I will just say that I will be on Veep this season. Throughout the season, I will be on Veep, so you can check that out. And if you're in the virtual reality world, I'll be performing in virtual reality on Altspace. And
really?
It's the best. Altspace is the closest I've ever gotten to like real. Virtual reality, you're a little bit like Reggie Watts does a lot of stuff in Altspace and Justin Roiland. You have a character and you interact in these environments and they have a lot of game playing.
And like, are other people you're interacting with actual other people?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
So like I'm going to be performing in this house party for about 2,000 people on Altspace.
What does your character look like? You?
It looks like me. I have a character that looks like me because they designed it to look like me. If you the listener is there, you have to take one of their pre-fab characters.
Yeah. Oh, you can't create your own.
No, only.
But if I asked them to create one for me,
yes.
Like I could specify like how big my boobs were.
Well, yeah, my boobs are giant in this.
Yeah,
but it's actually a really cool platform where there's like it. I've done a lot of stuff in virtual reality. I have like one of those vibes.
What
I love
it.
What
are you doing in
there? It's a lot of stuff. But it's actually like really, it's a crazy experience. It's really interesting. We'll see. It could be an interesting thing. We'll see. All right. So join us next week for our mini episode. A big thank you to Nate Kiley for all of this research, to engineer Sam over here, to everybody here at Earwolf. Give it up to all of you.
Give it up.
Give it up to
give
all
it up
of you.
To all of you.
To all of you. See you next time. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening, and just one more reminder, check out our brand new TeePublic store where you can get exclusive How Did This Get Made merchandise. If you want the I'm the Jason of My Group mug, it's going to be there. If you want the Monkey Rights Activist sticker, it's going to be there. Just go to teepublic.com/stores/HDTGM. So it's teepublic.com/stores/HDTGM. Did I spell that right? I don't know. You got it. I figured it out. 40% off, or roughly around that, until the weekend. Bye-bye.
Hollywood Handbook.
Hey, so it's Sean and Hayes from Hollywood Handbook. We just want to apologize for...
whatever you just listened to, I think we can all agree that sucked.
It sucked.
It sucked. It was terrible. It wasn't a good podcast. So... if you want to listen to a podcast where you're laughing, having fun,
and
two of your best friends.
Smart, and a show that's actually smart.
And
because
smart.
One of the things that what you just listened to, not only did it suck, it was stupid.
Stupid for babies. A grown-up smart podcast that's funny that keeps you awake is a show called Hollywood Handbook. It's hosted by your two best friends, Sean and Hayes, and we are your friends in real life.
Yes, unlike the people that did this show that you just listened to.
They're just doing it so that you'll like...
they don't want to be your friends, and we already are.
Yeah, so don't listen to the sucky show that you have. Do the new show. We're doing it. It's Hayes and Sean, Hollywood Handbook, and find it on Earwolf or something.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.